Well, it's nice to see you all again this morning. Glad we could sing together on Friday night. That was really nice. Enjoyed it. And I believe our neighbors enjoyed it as well. I know they did. We're going to begin with a prayer. Do you all have any prayer requests to share with us this morning? I'm just so thankful my back is feeling better. But it doesn't feel very well. I just sympathize with Brother Jason. I mean, we just think of him all the time. I know when my back doesn't feel well, I just feel like growl. I just feel grouchy. We had a man that spread stones for us, the gravel they say around here. But he spread it all around. And he just didn't want to spread very much, or he didn't want to. It was just hard for him to he just didn't think he could do what I wanted him to do as far as spreading it. And I was trying to make it easy for him, but operating that truck, he was just, he said, "I'm driving a truck. It's not just a car. I just can't get anywhere, you know." And I thought to myself, well, he's a little bit grouchy. And before he left, after the fourth load, we had seen each other quite a bit by then. He said, "Oh, I wasn't too grouchy for you." And I just forgave him for everything when he said that. That was a blessing. So let's be cheerful in spite of it's hard. Let's pray for Brother Jason. Think of when we get a little pain. And we praise God that He, even though He leads some through the fire, He leads us all through the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. And He leads us like sheep. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for putting a new song in our mouth. And for delivering us from the bonds of sin. Lord, we need Your help. Walk daily, help us to keep our hand in Thine and to walk closely with You, and that we might arrive someday in the new and blessed city where You dwell, where You want us to be someday. Help us to be faithful, help us to spread cheer instead of complaints. To love each other and to care for one another fervently. Thank You, Father, for this gathering. Bless us this morning. Bless Brother David, who preaches to us. Bless you. Help us to be faithful in Jesus' name. Let's do 29, I believe it is. No, that wasn't the one. Close by there. We already did 29. I think it's just before that. Maybe it was 27? Yes, 27. That's where I wanted to be. How firm a foundation. And let's paste this to where you see how it's a marching tune. And there's a lot of quarter notes here, and there are more eighth notes yet. And so we got eighths and quarters here, and we just keep right on going. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Okay, let's try. Look at my pitch right there.
Yeah.
firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. John Rippon, he was considered a foremost authority on the hymns of Isaac Watts. He loved Isaac Watts' hymns, apparently. You all know Isaac Watts, don't you? You've seen it at the top of a lot of hymns, haven't you? Behold the glories of the Lamb. One of his earlier hymns, Isaac Watts wrote many hymns. And this man had a selection of hymns. It says it's taken out of his selection of hymns. And he included, he just had a tremendous amount of Watts' hymns in that collection, I believe. And he was a Baptist preacher back in, well, the 1700s. See that? Apparently 1787 was his death, I believe. So, back in the 1700s. And now I would like to sing a song that was written by a man who was baptized by John Rippon. Joseph Swain was baptized by John Rippon. Joseph Swain wrote, "How sweet, how heavenly is the sight." That's not the one we're going to sing. Let's go back to 23. The man that wrote this one, 23, he was baptized by the man that wrote "How Firm a Foundation." And thou in whose presence my soul takes delight. And you Bible scholars, where does this come from? Where do you write this out of? It's paraphrased out of verses in the Bible. What book of the Bible? Any of them?
Psalms?
Almost. The Psalms? Not quite. Not quite. No? Keep guessing.
Psalms of David.
No, you're close.
Song of Solomon.
There you go. You got it. Yeah. Song of Solomon. Yeah. Comes from there. Not all of it is straight from there, but the song is out of the Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
So glamorous, look so fun. We're reading a little book, it's an old book, I think from the 1800s, called A Peep Behind the Scenes. Raise your hand if you've heard of that book. It's about a traveling theater that went to fairs and all that and it's set up. And it shows us very clearly what happens behind that curtain up on the stage. Everybody's clapping and so excited to see the beautiful women and men doing their acting out their wonderful shows, and maybe a beautiful little girl all dressed up in a gown playing her part and saying her part this way. And this shows behind the scenes how sad and dark. And this verse makes me think of that. The friends that you might get, be tempted to have. Friends that are fun. The happy times you might have when you're with them. Think about it. Many of them are that kind of friend that when you're crying, they'll laugh. When you've got plenty of money in your pocket, when everything's going good, and you want to have a happy time, they're right there to help you. You know, we see sometimes television shows or something. Sometimes we see them. And everybody looks so happy. It's so fun. Maybe a little boy stands up in front of a big crowd and he sings so well. And the crowd just applauds. With a tremendous roar afterward, you just kind of wish you could be there. You know what? When you can't sing anymore, your voice is hoarse, and your pocket is empty of money, you don't have anything, and maybe your back is hurting, Maybe you're sick. Those same friends that applauded you and made you feel so good, they'll smile at the tears you have shed. That's the way the devil does. And many people are following the devil. And the devil is so glad and so exciting when everything's going fine. And he leads you along. But when you fall, he laughs. That's what it is. And you're in a desert. You're ending up in a desert. So he says, hey, why should I wander an alien from thee? Or cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when thy sorrows they see. And smile at the tears thou hast shed. Think about it. Farewell to friends. Friends that are good, good friends. Everything's fine. Everything's working out just well. Wonderful. Let's choose the true friend, Jesus. Stay with him. It's like he's not going to let you down. He's a shepherd. Let's just 73. No, 35. Hark the herald angels sing. Hark the herald angels sing. We listened to someone singing, you know, when I was struggling with what's the title of that one? The Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. How's it start out? While shepherds watch their flocks by night. We listened to a group singing that, and they said, of angels bending near the earth. Didn't sound quite right. Angels. Get that out. Syllables. Angels. Okay. Hark the herald angels sing. Here's what I want to talk to you about. You forget to stay on time sometimes. And I noticed it Friday night a little bit. You know, we're in somebody's house. We're supposed to sing, so we're still singing nice and loud. But we start looking over there in that other room. What might I get to see over there? Some interesting stuff over there. We look over there. Keep looking over there a little bit. We're over there is a plate of cookies. What's under that little covering over there? But we keep on singing. And pretty soon, we get off track. We start singing too fast or too slow. And I'm here trying to get you together. Let's remember, we don't go to people's houses to see what we can see. Some of them gave us some good cookies, good food, and all that was great. But same way with at the old people's home. We go there to sing to the old folks, and you start singing really well, but after a bit, you don't want to miss anything. Something interesting could happen here. One of those old people could do something really funny, and I'd miss it. My friends would see it, and they'd tell me afterward, so we start looking around. We're over in the cafeteria. Are they bringing us something? Stay here. Now all that's for afterward. When you go up and you talk, shake their hand, say hi to them, ask them how they're doing, tell them your name, all that. That's fine afterward. You can look around. But stick here. I remember one time when I was a young person, and we went to a place like that, and there was a woman that her mind wasn't well. And we came in there, we could just hear her before we ever got into the cafeteria where we were going to sing, we could just hear her loudly saying, "Ouse! Ouse!" And she just kept saying it and saying it just about that often. Right there, just kept saying it. They finally had to just wheel her out because it's too much of a distraction. But it was just tempting to look at her, stare at that woman saying it. To this day, my brother and me, we both, when we're tired as can be, we fall down on the bed and rest. We say, "Ouse." I'll never forget that. But and those things are interesting. They capture our mind. You gotta remember, we're there to sing, okay? Let's do this. One verse of this, and I want to talk about, first of all, what we're trying to do here. We got some young men that are Follow the girls in this song here. Hark, the herald angels sing. Look at this. In the chorus, we the ladies, the soprano, we say, hark, the herald angels sing. But you tenors, hark, the herald angels. Do not hold out there. That don't hold that hark out there. Yeah. Same way with, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That's us, sopranos. But you tenors, and basses, and altos, you're all, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That's tenor. Or alto, I'm not going to do it. But you keep right on moving there. You don't say, glory to the newborn king. You say, glory to the newborn king. You know what that dot is there for us as sopranos? That's to hold that note out. Glory to the new, little dot up there. See that? And the rest of you, you keep right. And down here on the tenor, down here on the chorus, we sopranos sing. Hold that dot there, that dotted quarter note. We hold it. Hark, the herald angels. You other parts, you just are supposed to pound the
letters. You gotta ask to hold it out on the chorus. So you put it on the chorus. Tenor's gotta hold it out on the bass. Keep that with the beat.
Oh, over on glory to the newborn king. Okay, that's another spot. I was talking about over here at Hark.
Oh.
Yeah, but over there, glory to the newborn king. Tenor stays with soprano. Tenor and soprano together. And you all, basses and altos, you keep marching right along. No. Alto, basses, soprano. Okay, alto, soprano, and tenor all hold it. And you basses just pound away. Okay, see that? Let's observe that a little bit. Sing one verse of this, that's all.
Thank you.
Something a little more.
Like the first Christmas carol.
Yeah, Christmas carol. A Christmas carol. A song about the birth of Jesus. Okay, that's enough for that. God bless you.
We were supposed to, for last week, we were supposed to tell something that that stood out to us in David's sermon. And I thought about how he said we have to be prepared or else Jesus won't recognize us.
Jesus said, "Men will know if you're my disciples if you love one another."
He said that people read the Bible and say they believe it and do it, but they just miss the main point.
He talked about it. If you learn something new and it's exciting what you just learned, and not to make the other people like expect that they'll be doing it too, but to not just to kind of be proud in that way, like keeping trying to think they're going to do it too or whatever.
I was going to say, kind of like Hans, how he talked about we're all at different levels of our understanding, and how he said, you know, you learn something new and then you think you got to make everyone else know what you just learned, but you just got done learning it and, you know, day ago or something like that, you know, you didn't know it. And so we need to let other people learn it for themselves instead of breathing down their neck what we just learned.
I thought about how he was saying that if our will is surrendered to the Lord, then we don't need rules to keep us one with each other and one with the Lord, because when we're all doing His will, we are one with Him, one with the brothers.
I thought about like what Elijah said, that there people will know us by that we love each other, and we need to just forgive and not hold grudges and just love each other, do kind things and everything, because that's what sets us apart from other people.
I guess the main point that stood out to me in the message last Sunday was David said, if we're going to have the wrong attitude about learning something new, we might as well not learn something new. And how, I don't know, that just really spoke to me, because, I don't know, it's just so easy to get on a one-track mind and just, I'm doing what I'm doing and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And you close your mind, you know, if you're learning about a certain thing, you can get adamant about what you learned, and it's still your opinion, your bias. So if you can't get along with others, and if it ends up just hurting you more than helping you, you might as well just not learn it. I mean, but I think more than that, what stood out to me was the part about our attitude while we're learning things, and we can have the right attitude, you know, always loving one another, putting each other first, and well, then we're not going to be puffed up. We're walking in humility and always thinking about each other and what's good for each other. So that's what stood out to me.
One thing that stood out to me was how he was saying we shouldn't be focused on being right and making sure everybody else knows we're right. We should just, if there's something we see that we should be doing a certain way, then we should do it, but not try to impose it on everybody else.
He said that
Jesus, when he healed people, he would tell them not to just go and tell everybody about it. And I didn't used to understand really why he would do that. But Brother David explained it, that he didn't want them to go and tell everybody what amazing experience had happened to them and what they had learned when they had just learned it.
One part that stuck out to me was David was talking about the early church and how that they didn't have a set of rules that they lived by. They just let each other figure out their own salvation, and that just kind of stuck out to me. That's what we're trying to do here, and it seems to work out all right.
One part that stuck out to me, he talked about how when Jesus was on this earth, some people think, oh yeah, he was amazing, he walked around doing all the miracles and everything, but he was just a man working and living how he was supposed to be, being a good example to us.
I stick up to me is not making sure everybody knew that you're right all the time, you're doing right, just do your part and God will take care of the rest.
Grant had the same thought as Jaden, you know, if you're right, you know, you can't force it on anybody else. You gotta let everybody figure out their own salvation. And Granddad used to tell us, you can lead a dog to water, but you can't force him to drink. So.
For next week, think of somebody that is a neighbor or a family member that has a need, and go ahead and see what you can do to help that person. Could also be a family member. Maybe somebody that's not expecting you to do something nice for them. Try to think of something to do and kind of go beyond what you normally do. And then also think about somebody or a situation that you know of that where you saw somebody show love to their neighbor and you thought that was, you know, pretty neat, that made an impression on you. Just let us know what you saw somebody else do, maybe, and that inspires you.
Should we share what we did to help somebody?
No, keep that to yourself.
That's another
thing. But share what somebody else does.
Right.